You are listening to the ArenaFan.com podcast, coming to you from Radio Row at the Waterbury Ballroom at the Sheraton New Orleans Hotel, the headquarters hotel of Arena Bowl 21.
Good.
Welcome back once again to Radio Row at New Orleans, site of Arena Bowl 21 between the Columbus Destroyers and San Jose Sabercats. This is Adam Markowitz, and my guest right now is arena football analyst Wayne Morris. Wayne, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, guys, for having me.
And Wayne, I have to throw this one in there. Graduate of the Hofstra University, Hofstra Pride. I'm a New York boy here.
Okay, but I don't get excited about that because when I played there, we were called the Flying Dutchman. And I haven't gotten an explanation why they changed the name to Pride. So I have a hard time saying Pride. I say Pride when I got to, but it's still a Flying Dutchman.
Hofstra, land of tuition.
You got that right.
Okay, so Wayne, you started your career in 1995 with Connecticut, and then moved on and played with the New York Knights. Can you talk about your experiences in the AFL?
Well, it's a big part of my life. I mean, obviously, I came out of Hofstra at that time. It was a small school, really. Not well known across the country, and obviously the challenges of trying to get a look at the NFL. You know, performed well there, records, all kind of, you know, accolades. We had a great team, and just looking for an opportunity. Had some workouts, didn't really have an opportunity there to get in the NFL. So, you know, went to work and kept training, and then an opportunity came up to play in the Arena Football League and Connecticut Coyotes, the expansion team at the time, and so I went that route. And, you know, actually it's funny because I had an opportunity right after school. A couple of coaches from Albany had called my coaching staff and asked about me, and they approached me and said, "We've got some calls from Albany Firebirds that want to see if you want to play Arena Football League." I looked at right in my coach's eyes and says, "I'm not playing that nonsense." That's exactly what I said. I said, I think I'm good enough to go to the big show, and that's what I'm going to focus on. And it's so funny because now that's what I fight, the perception every time, that this is not real football or people don't respect it as much. It's kind of ironic because I was one of those things because I didn't know enough. But then when I went up there and started playing, I fell in love with it. I say this all the time. If you could pay me $1 million to play in arena football – and $1 million to play in the NFL, same length of time, same contract, I would play in the AFL. And I really mean that. And that's how much I love this game. And, you know, after finishing up in 98, you know, decided to give up the game. Last 2 years in New York City Hawks, I was injured. First time ever missed a game in my life. I missed half of them in those 2 years. And it was just time to go. And decided to, you know, obviously start my business career as well. And then I got into broadcasting and got a chance to still be in the AFL despite not playing anymore, even though I still physically could. It just wasn't a choice I had to make. And, you know, I love it and appreciate the work you guys do. And you guys know what I'm talking about fighting the PR, the perception, and always trying to promote this game because you guys love it just as much as I do. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the transition between playing standard one-way football as you did at Hofstra with the two-way game in the AFL?
Well, the hardest thing, obviously I was a receiver by trade, and it brings you back to high school, and that's kind of why I like it because it's almost like the pure form of football, two-way Ironman. And so the hardest challenge for me was obviously to go back to, you know, playing defensive back and covering people. And it's kind of like basketball. If you can score 15, 20 points a game, but if you turn around and give up 30, you know, you're really no good to the team. So, in essence, what had to happen is I had to make sure that I can make the team and get my game up defensively and work very hard at that. And that's what I had to do to make the team because offensively I came in the training camp. We had exhibition games back then. I don't know if you remember. But,
oh, yeah.
Scored the first couple of touchdowns in Connecticut Coyote history there. Scored the first one, actually, against the Milwaukee Mustangs. And, you know, and I had a great game. I felt really good about myself. And then after the game, the coach tells me, "Oh, you did a great job. But in order to make this team, you need to show us we can play defense." And that's what I had to go do out the next game and show that I can play defense. And if you don't play enough defense, as Chad and Lindsay, the secondary coach for the New York Dragons, is standing right in front of me. Chad's a guy that I've played against an awful lot. And, again, a great two-way player, a great tough physical player, Chad Lindsay. But if he told me I had to, in order for me to make this team, despite the fact I had a great offensive game because they already had their OS, I had to go out and play defense. So I had to focus on that during the week and I had to prove to them I can play defense. And unfortunately, I was lucky enough to make the team.
So do you prefer the old Ironman football or the newer free substitution arena football?
We had Commissioner Baker on my show earlier today, and we've talked a lot about this all season long. I'm sure you guys have as well. At first, I didn't like it. And I read your guys' site, too. There was a lot of fans that didn't like it. And I did not like the fact that we're changing the game that I love and the game that a lot of my teammates, ex-teammates, and the current players love. And I didn't like it at all because, you know, this is what we know and love. This is what made us different, you know. But I said, you know what? The last 10 years, the commissioner and the league is taking it to the league to new heights. So I said, all right, I got to trust this thing, but I still don't like it. And I really have nothing to say about it, so I'm not going to change it. So essentially, by like week four, other than asking guys questions about it, honestly, I didn't think of, once the game started, I really didn't pay attention to it because the games were as exciting. People thought the scoring would go down. I never thought that because when you really look at it, you always had two one-way players playing in the secondary anyway. And a lot of teams didn't have good enough two-way DSs, one, let alone two. So what makes you think you can go on the street and get a third one that can play? So I still thought the offenses clearly had the edge and the scoring would not go down. In fact, I think the final numbers, they were up 6 points a game, mm-hmm. I believe, right? And because they didn't expand the rosters, and that was the key for me, to at least give it a chance because they didn't expand the rosters. Had they made the rosters 35, 40 players, then you're looking at an outdoor game on a smaller field and, you know, as far as personnel, and I didn't like that. But there's some pride in the fact that you go out there and play both ways. People always used to ask me, what do you love about it? And what I love about it was the fact that I had to challenge myself, and I had a lot of fun playing defensive back because you play – you know, college, you play wide receiver, that's what you do, that's what you're good at, but now you got to challenge yourself and play a position that you're not comfortable with and have to help the team. So it's a challenge. It's a little bit of an ego thing to say you're an Ironman football player as opposed to the million-dollar babies, you know? And so I think we lost that, but then, again, like I said, and I saw you guys nodding your heads, so you must agree that after week four, I didn't even think about it anymore.
Tell us a little bit about your show with Peter Schwartz.
Well, you know, Mark Lowitz, who's the VP of AFL Networks last year, been a big supporter of ours there in New York, and he's done a lot of great things for the league, and came to us and talked about doing a talk show, once a week talk show with Sirius, because Sirius carries mm-hmm. every two games a week, and we just started talking about it because the biggest problem was there was Howard Stern ate up all the space in the studio, so we had no place to go. So, fortunate enough, Ed Ingles, who's over at Hofstra University in the radio station over there, I've known for a while, and put a call into him, and we're able to work out a deal and use their facility. So, it was great for me because now we've got a place to do the show, but also I get to help out my alma mater. So it was really good, and so we got started with that, and it really what the focus was. You know, we came up with the name This Week in the AFL, sort of like the old This Week in Baseball, mm-hmm. just recapping the weekend, the hot topics, hot stories, and it's our show, interviewing players and coaches, and owners and league officials, and media personnel, and it really took off. And really, my vision of the show personally was to try to educate people, anybody who's listening, about the game, but also try to give players and coaches exposure. So that if you are in San Jose and never saw, and Columbus is in Columbus, you would never know about any of their players unless, you had satellite TV and you had get all the feeds and you had all the packages, but you would never know about these players. So, it's a way to try to connect the fans to different players out of their market. Because let's face it, when you watch the NFL, you may be a New York Jet fan, but you know who the players are on the other team. Mm-hmm. In arena football, that's not necessarily the case. You know the teams, but you don't know all the players. So it was really an opportunity for me. I only played 4 years. The last two, I missed half the game. So it was, what's my contribution when I look at it? And for me, I didn't do what I wanted to do. I didn't do enough. But at least now as a broadcaster, I can give back to the game and help continue to sell the game because I sold the game as a player. When you meet people on the street, you give them tickets and, try to get people to come to games. So now I can contribute this way and try to sell the game and help the game in any small way that I can. So it's an opportunity to do that. But now this year it evolved. We do the games, actually previewing all the games that are happening on the weekend, and then the Monday night game with ESPN. And so we had a lot of fun. So this week we're here doing, you know, doing extended, like you guys are here all day, it looks like.
Yep.
You know, we just do a 3-hour show, that's it. And then, of course, Peter and I are calling the game on Sunday. So, and what makes it special is that you guys look like you guys got a good partnership here. What makes things special is that Peter and I have known each other for a while. And we were, obviously, we're broadcast partners for the Dragons on game day. And now we get to do the show. And then last year, I had the privilege to call the Arena Bowl. I mean, you know, my only hope before that was that the Dragons made it all the way there. And then I'd be the analyst for a team that's in the game. But now I'm doing the national broadcast with Peter for the second year in a row. So it's just special because it's happening, but it's happening with good people around me, and I'm really excited.
Okay, we'll really quickly switch gears to this weekend's game between Columbus and San Jose. Who do you like this weekend and why?
Oh, boy, I've been asked that question all week.
That's what we're all here for.
And you know what? Let me tell you something. Columbus has burned me 2 weeks in a row. I picked them against Tampa. But, you know, obviously I didn't think Dallas was going to go out the way they did. And then I said, well, they can't do this again, can they? Georgia, because I thought Georgia would have beat Dallas if they met, you know. And I just thought Georgia, top to bottom, they're an offense scoring machine. Steve Tunn, the offense coordinator, no longer, but the offense coordinator was my offense coordinator in Connecticut. Great guy. I know Stevie for a long time. I was rooting for him 2 years ago and when they were there, and I was hoping he'd get back to the game and win that game. There was no way I thought they were going to play the way they did, and Georgia was going to lose. So I picked Georgia. And they burned me again. So last week, I got on ESPN News, and they snuck a question on me because I went on today to give my prediction, but they asked me last week. And I said, I haven't even had time to think about this if I want to change my mind like everybody else. But I didn't. I stayed with San Jose. So stayed on with the Sabercats because I just think, you know, I don't think they can – three times in a row against those teams, that's hard to try to figure out that they can do it. Because I don't think – no one's ever done that in any sport, beat the type of teams that with the records all in a row to win a championship – after getting in the playoffs at 500 or below. I don't think that's ever been done in any sport. So, yeah, I had to go with San Jose. So I think they're a better team, veteran team. They've been in before. I just think they're going to get it done.
Okay, once again, you've been listening to Radio Row at Arena Bowl 21. This is Adam Markowitz, and my guest has been Wayne Morris. Wayne, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you for listening to this ArenaFan.com podcast coming to you from Radio Row at Arena Bowl 21. Arena Bowl Radio Row is brought to you by Voodoo Barbecue and Grill.